What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Conspiracy or Just a Coincidence. I am Jack Allen. After many technical issues, I finally have my guest. We're ready to talk. And so I know this is going to go in a little bit different of a direction, but I felt it was a conspiracy-like enough. So I am talking to the plastic master, the plastic myth blaster, Dr. Chris Armitt. Chris, welcome. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks, Jack. Thanks for having me on the show. Appreciate it.
So I briefly told you, you know, like plastic in my mind, it's detrimental and all these things, but I saw your take first on LinkedIn. So I guess explain to everybody like what you're trying to do, what you put countless hours into, all those good things.
Yeah, so I'm a scientist, and that means that I like to work on facts and logic, right? Whenever I hear something, especially if it's an important decision, I want to make sure I've got the facts. And what I found was that people have made up their minds about plastics, and I haven't seen any facts presented. And when I say facts, I mean, you know, peer-reviewed science articles with real data that's been checked by somebody. So I see a lot of accusations. I see a lot of rumors going around. I see my kids being taught stuff at school, but I don't see any facts backing it up. And that concerned me. So I went on a mini crusade. I've read about 2,000 peer-reviewed articles now, and I think that's more than anybody in the world. And that covers litter, waste, degradation, microplastics, ocean plastics, all the stuff. And a real scientist, how they approach things is they read everything and then they make up their mind. A regular person does the opposite. They have a gut feeling about what they want to believe, and then they just go on and believe it and maybe cherry pick some data to support it. Whereas a real scientist reads it all and then makes up their mind. And that's why I had to read so much. So when I started on this crusade, I didn't wear glasses, and now I do. That gives you an idea how wise that was.
Oh my, no, that sounds all, I love hearing, because that you're right. I mean, I'm not a scientist. You're probably the highest degree individual I've ever had on this show, but you're right. It seems like today, especially either it's like the cherry picking, or they pick the evidence that can point to their thesis or whatever they're trying to claim. And yeah. It's like hard to trust anything because science seems so corrupted.
That's right. I agree with you. I'll give you one example. Everyone talks about plastic bags. And so I went to look for life cycle analyses. That's when you tell whether something's green or not, right? So I looked for, and you can do this too. You go to Google and type in LCA grocery bag, right? Life cycle analysis grocery bag. And I spent months on this. So I got 26 different analyses all around the world. And every single one ever done in the world shows that plastic bags are greenest. So that's an example of, instead of going and finding one study that suited, you know, a certain narrative, I went and found every single study ever published. And then not only that, I had an expert analyze them to make sure it was for real and the conclusions were valid. So, you know, you go to Kroger, they ask you paper or plastic. Every study ever done shows that plastic bags are greenest. So it makes you wonder why are people
compared to a paper bag, a plastic bag, what it has, it will decompose earlier or quicker.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. So there's also a myth that plastics last 450 or 500 years, and you'll never see any science backing that. I mean, the World Wildlife Fund claim it and so forth. And I went to look, where does this myth come from? Because I'm an expert in plastic stabilization. I know that people spend $2 billion a year on stabilizers for plastics. That's additives you have to put in there because they're so unstable, they'll fall to pieces if you don't put additives in them. So, for example, you asked about a plastic bag. There's two peer-reviewed studies on degradation of plastic bags, and they both show that a regular plastic bag left outside, you know, just in the sunlight or in your garden, will fall to pieces within 1 year, 9 months to a year, right? So we're told 450 years with no evidence, whereas the peer-reviewed science says less than a year. So, you know, that's another myth. People are just repeating these same things and no one's checking the facts. And that's worrying to me. I don't actually care if people hate plastics. I just care if they believe things based on fiction. That's my problem.
Right. Well, so I guess like that's my, like the meat, like I think I'm hurting the environment. Like I use plastic and I try to limit my use of plastic because I worry that I'm not like some green eco, like nutcase or anything like that. Like I want to do, you know, I don't want to, they show like commercials of a turtle getting caught in the soda thing or whatever. And I feel bad. So I try to use less and less plastic. But what would be the benefit of, you know, lying about this, right? Is that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm wondering that too. So if you look at, have you heard of Dr. Patrick Moore? He was the president of Greenpeace.
No, but I know Greenpeace. So.
Okay. So he left and he wrote a book. He's written two books. One's called Confessions of a Greenpeace Dropout. And the reason he left is he said he was the only scientist there, and a bunch of, you know, business people took over Greenpeace, and all they care about is lying to make money. That's what he says. So he has a whole book talking about how they demonized plastics, how they demonized halogens, how they demonized all kinds of things. And he says their business strategy is just to make stuff up and get your, make you angry, make you sad, and get your donations. And that's coming from the former president of Greenpeace. And he's not alone, right? There's another book by Michael Schellenberger. There's another book by Bjorn Lomborg. So a lot of these environmentalists, the ones who care, are leaving and saying these are scam artists. They're just trying to con you out of your money. So I think that's what's behind it. People are, you know, follow the money. That's what people say.
Well, I think they're, President Eisenhower, he had a quote like, the worst thing is the military industrial complex and government funded science.
Yeah.
And that it's, I mean, we see that more and more today. Like, so that's really interesting that these leaders of these join not to make money, to make a difference. They're leaving them because I'm guessing they probably saw certain areas focused on that generated the most donations, but weren't actually the worst problems or whatever. They saw some form of corruption or fraud going on.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
They love to show, I mean, the whole book, he details it with tons of science to back up his points. And he was just frustrated that they were, you know, just telling whatever lies were lucrative. In fact, Greenpeace were sued by a company called Resolute, and their defense in court was not to show science or to back up their points. Their defense was, yeah, we made it all up. They said that their statements were non-verifiable statements of subjective fact or something like that, meaning, you know, we don't have any evidence to back up anything we said. Can you imagine your defense in court being, yeah, we don't actually have any evidence, we're just making accusations, you know,
right?
Nothing.
It's crazy. And so I saw quickly before the show, I Googled, like, when did plastics begin? And I'm sure you know the history better Why do we make the transition to plastic? I'm guessing because of cost as opposed to glass. Is that probably like the main contributor why we made that switch?
That's a great point. I think it's more versatile. So if you look at, because I used to work for Electrolux Frigidaire, right? And we looked at what's the absolute cheapest material to use for everything, you know, for the customer. What's the cheapest way to get the product to the customer? And the answer is usually sheet steel. And so then you have to ask, well, why is plastic so prevalent? And the reason is you can take something that was made of like three pieces of sheet steel that somebody had to weld together or screw together and replace it with one molded piece of plastic. So that's where a lot of the savings comes from. It's not always coming from the material. It's coming from, reduced assembly costs and things like that. So that's the versatility of it. And the other thing is you can't make a mobile phone out of glass, right? You can't make a car out of glass or wood or any of those things. So, it's a pretty versatile material. That's one of the answers.
So this might be too weird for you, but one theory that I've seen before is that we switched to plastic because plastic's made from oil, correct?
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
So the one theory that, like, obviously I researched the Rockefellers a lot, and I saw like this connection that it was a waste material, and he had all these very smart chemists working for him, and they were able to invent something with the waste, and that's plastic, and that the rest is history. That's why we use plastic. I don't know if that's true or not. You would know better than I would.
I don't know. Some of the earliest plastics were like Bakelite and something, and I'm not a historian, so I haven't checked into the very first invention of it and the story behind it. I'm not that kind of person who wants to go back in the decades. And I do have a friend who's a professor, and he's done that. So he's written books and checked the whole history of every plastic, when it was invented and how and all of that stuff. That's one thing you'll find, Jack, about a real scientist like I am, is let's say I just came across a subject, I don't know the answer, so I'll just tell you I don't know, right? That's what genuine people do. And that's one way to tell a difference between an expert and somebody who's, you know, full of it, is you ask them something and the real expert will tell you when they don't know. And the person who's overconfident will, you know, just make stuff up.
Damn, Chris, we need more scientists like you in these crazy times.
Yeah, I know. It's not easy, and it's not lucrative either. I'm doing this for free because everyone else who's talking to you, you know, Greenpeace or World Wildlife Fund or any of these people, even politicians, they want something from you, right? They're all trying to sell you a product. And that's why I give away my book for free. The website's free. You know, all that stuff is for free because you have to have somebody you can go to who's not making money from you. They're just going to tell you what is true and back it with evidence.
Wow. That's really amazing. Honestly, literally, there's no one like that.
I know.
I bet you do, though. Well, so like, what really was the first comment I saw of you was, there was, you know, just like we were just talking, these like moving emotional videos, and it's there's a boat in the ocean and it's picking up these islands of plastic or whatever. And I saw your comment. I forget what the comment above it was, but you said, well, what about the gas they're using to collect this plastic?
Yeah.
Because that was mind blowing to me. I never thought of that. As silly as that is, please like elaborate on this common misconception.
Yeah. So if you look at my website, there's data, you know, peer reviewed data from millions of measurements, how much plastic is really in the ocean. And the answer is, in the worst areas, there's about one game die, which means 5 grams of plastic every Olympic pool of water, right? That's more than should be there, right? But there are no floating islands. That's all just fiction, right? There's in fact a whole PhD about how the floating island myth came about. There are no floating islands of plastic. So anyway, if you had one game die per Olympic pool and you're taking these boats and going up and down and up and down, you're belching out black smoke from the top of them, you're burning diesel, which is fossil fuel, you've got CO2 coming out of the chimney, and you're hardly collecting any plastic, right? So the US government, the NOAA, Diana Parker, there's the quotes on my website with a link to her podcast and everything. She said that they calculated it would take 67 ships 1 year to clean up 1% of one gyre, and all the time belching out black smoke and burning fossil fuel and liberating CO2. So it's just not worth it, right? It'd be like if you took a deck of cards, you know, up in a helicopter and dropped them. It wouldn't be worth cleaning them up. You'd spend more money on gasoline than the mess you created. And so I pointed that out, right? This is coming from the US government, that this just cannot work and it's increasing harm. And people will tell me, people, as you saw on LinkedIn, they come back and say, well, it's better than doing nothing. I'm like, no, increasing harm is not better than doing nothing. It's a bad idea.
What do you mean? That's awesome, first of all. But what do you mean, like, because I am probably more open than most Americans of that the media lies, pictures can be very misleading. So, because I've seen these plastic islands like talked about. So you mean that there's very little evidence of that? Or what do you mean that that's a myth?
Well, they say that there's floating islands of plastic, and there are no floating islands of plastic. These gyres, anyway, are not floating islands of plastic. That's just made up. It's 100% fiction. So they've been going back and forth with ships for decades, right, with nets on the back, collecting the plastic, analyzing it, weighing it. They know exactly how much plastic there is, what it's made of, what kind of plastic, and where it is. And in the worst areas, it's one game die, you know, they're like for Monopoly per Olympic swimming pool of water. That's the most plastic that you'll find anywhere. So, you know, you might find more in a certain small area, but these giant gyres that everyone talks about, of a floating island of plastic the size of Texas, it's just 100% BS. There's no evidence for it. You can't find it on a satellite. You know, you can even talk to the captain who discovered it, and he'll tell you, you know, journalists pay him every day and say, drive me out to the islands of plastic. And he has to tell them there's nothing there. There's nothing to take a picture of. It doesn't exist.
Wow. That is great. Like, and again, this, my audience is definitely more receptive than this, than I'm sure the public would balk at that statement, but that is crazy.
I mean, and everything I say is backed with science, right? So when I say that, I can send you a link to a PhD thesis where the woman interviewed the guy who is the captain who, you know, discovered it. I think it's Captain Moore actually. And you know how this myth came about. It was originally published in a Russian newspaper, and when it was translated into another language, it suddenly went from being like a carpet of plastic to suddenly being a huge mountain of plastic. And they published a picture like Everest, you know, like there was this huge mountain in the ocean, but it was all just made up by journalists.
No way. Yep. That is crazy, man. Like, that's, and I don't know, again, I'm probably like verging on a little craziness on you, but so there's like a theory that they're going to use climate and pollution as like the next pandemic. And so it's important to them talk about, you know, like high CO2, plastic, all these things. And so that's going to be used to tax people more and all that stuff. So it sounds like from what you're telling me, this is a great, they're building that lie already with this plastic, these floating oceans and the animals and the turtles and all that stuff.
Yeah. And here's something people don't know, right? If you calculate, because World Wildlife Fund published a study a few weeks ago saying that plastics are bad and they're liberating all this carbon dioxide, right? Everything you do liberates carbon dioxide. You know, we're breathing it and the plant, you know, plants give it out and everything. So there's always carbon dioxide being given out. But what the World Wildlife Fund didn't tell you is how much carbon dioxide you save by using plastics, right? Because they make our cars lighter, which means less gasoline. They make our ships lighter and our airplanes lighter. They insulate our homes and they preserve food, right? Which is a huge contributor to CO2. And when you add it all up, you can prove that plastics are reducing fossil fuel usage and reducing CO2 by massive amounts. If you were to replace plastic with other materials, you would be liberating 10 times more carbon dioxide. So the World Wildlife Fund are basically tricking you by saying only, it's like a balance, right? How much plastic do, how much CO2 do plastics give out? And they forgot to show that they're saving 10 times more than that, right? So this is, people will say that the oil industry are trying to scam us into buying plastics, right? Because that's what's going to save them. And it doesn't make sense because plastics actually reduce oil consumption. So if it were up to the oil companies, they wouldn't want us to have plastics.
Damn. That is crazy, man. That is an amazing statistic. And again, that's so simple to think, well, it's lighter shipments, less gasoline, less all this. You could probably fit more in a boat or whatever.
Yeah.
But again, never, that angle or that idea has never been crossed my mind. Yeah. That is seriously wild.
Yeah.
How about microplastics? So I see people attribute that. I'm also like involved with like the health side of community, and I see they talk about microplastics in our food and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I've read hundreds of articles on that. So there are some articles that purport to show harm, but when you read them, it turns out that they're just fake science. And that's not something I would normally say about other scientists. But I mean, this is science so bad that these people should be ashamed and should have their funding taken away. They should have their professor titles taken away, and they should be, well, if it was up to me, they'd be thrown in a boat and set out to sail forever. So let me give you an example of some microplastic stuff. And part of it, I'm just pulling up some slides here. Your people can't see it, but I want to read to make sure that I get this 100% right.
Yeah.
So for example, here's one example, right? The World Wildlife Fund funded a study which said that we eat this credit card worth of plastic every week, right? And there's a newer independent study. So it wasn't funded by one of these people who want your donations. And they said that the World Wildlife Fund study was so unbelievably wrong that it was just incredible, right? So the actual amount of plastic you eat, it would take 27,000 years to eat that much plastic, right? Not 5 grams a week, 5 grams every 27,000 years, right? So that's the real number. And I'll give you another example. If you look at scientific studies, right, about microplastics, and there are hundreds of them, right? This is not a new thing. It's been studied to death, right? Hundreds of studies, and I've read them. About 24% of those say that there's probably a risk, right? Of the scientific studies. But if you look at the media articles that you and I and regular people read, 93% of those say that there's definitely a risk, right? So the scientists, 24% of them say there is, and even those are mainly bad science, and I can prove that. Whereas the media tell you 93. Why? Because here's something you might not know, Jack. If you lose $10, I would have to give you $20 to make up for how bad you felt from losing 10. Right. And the reason for that is that we respond much more strongly to negative news. And that's why you only get negative news out of the media, because it sells so much better. And that's why I can never win. Right. When I come to you with a good story and tell you the truth, nobody wants to hear it because it doesn't have the same impact as the lies do.
Oh, Chris, you are speaking my language, my friend. I totally agree. That's a great point. The media loves to fear and shove fear down your throat, scare, violence. And you're right, because this makes me feel better about using my plastic bags to carry my fruit to work as opposed to putting in a Tupperware container when I don't feel like doing too much dishwashing.
Well, the thing is, you know, people talk about, oh, this has an impact, that has an impact, right? Everything has an impact. Our goal is either to move back into caves, which wouldn't work out so well for most of us, or to pick the material for whichever application, right, that has the least impact. And in the case of bags, there's 26 studies. Everyone says that it's plastic is best. If you look at wine corks, it says the plastic cork is worse than the actual wooden cork, right? So you should use the wooden cork. If you look at wood decking, it says that the wood decking is greener than the plastic decking, right? So if you care about the environment, you might pick the wood decking. I mean, these studies are all out there. And what amazes me is that Greenpeace or World Wildlife Fund, if they truly care, they can literally find these studies in 2 seconds. So they've been at this for 40 years. Greenpeace apparently have got $400 million of our donations by showing us pictures of turtles. I mean, these are fictional pictures in many cases, right? And then A, they're not checking the facts. And B, I never see them doing anything with that money to help the environment. All I see is them having media campaigns to criticize everyone else.
Very fair. Yeah, you're right. What do they? I've never like seen an actual change they've implemented that.
Right. I'm thinking if you got $400 million, you could take the plastic out of every river in the world, probably by putting nets across it or inventing something. Right. I've never seen them take any action.
Yeah. Jeez. It's just like, you know, and you know better than anybody by researching this, like, propaganda is so powerful. Like, it's hard for me to believe, right? Because you're bombarded with, like, how evil you are for using plastic, how horrible it is. It's hard to, like, fathom that there's a possibility that that's not true.
Yeah, it's difficult. And what's even more difficult is they've proven if you repeat a lie enough times, people believe it. And even if you have a high IQ, it doesn't protect you. You still believe it. So that's the problem, right? We've allowed this lie to be spread. Nobody's given any pushback, including the plastics industry. They've done nothing. And so now everyone believes the lies, and it's really an uphill battle to show people the truth. What I found, Jack, is that most people actually don't care about the environment because they claim to be passionate online to look good for their friends. You know, it's called... what's that called? Virtue signaling, right? They're just trying to look good to their friends. But if you actually offer to show them the evidence, they literally won't spend 5 minutes to look at it because they didn't actually care in the first place.
Wow. No, you nailed it, man. You're like, you're not only an expert in this, you're a psychology expert because that's exactly it. You're right. Well, and also anytime like I see Amazon or whatever multi-trillion-dollar corporation get behind like a cause, I usually know that cause is pretty much BS because you can't be a trillion-dollar corporation and care about the environment or care about, it's just like they're polar opposites in my mind, you know? So like,
yeah.
And I see them harp on being greener and being greener. And I really don't doubt that Amazon is really caring about the environment. I don't think that's their number one concern.
Well, this is how it's working right now. The NGOs, the non-government organizations, lie to the public because they have giant marketing groups, right? So they can put tons of money, they have full-page commercials, you see posts every day. And then the public demands change, right? So we see the supermarkets are changing from plastic to other materials. And there was a report recently showing that supermarket executives know that changing from plastic is increasing harm, but they do it anyway because the customers ask them to do it. Right. So there's literally a report showing that they know that they're caught increasing harm by getting rid of plastic, but the customers are asking for it. So that's the danger of the lies, right? You end up harming the environment instead of hurting it because you're too lazy to look for the facts.
Oh, my God. That's crazy. It's so crazy that. So and what are they like? I don't know. What's the alternative that you've seen that like these corporations or whatever are suggesting instead of plastic, just like reusable bags? Is that like the big?
Yeah, I see a lot of, there's actually quite good results on the life cycle analysis for plastic reusable bags. They come out pretty good. So I looked at that too, because that's a nice solution. But the trouble is they've done studies and they get full of bacteria and mold and E. coli and all kinds of stuff like that. So it's a question about whether they're really safe. And then, of course, you'll say, well, just wash the bag. But then you have extra detergent and extra water and extra energy for all the washing. And now you're like, well, is it still green? Because now I've put so much extra chemicals and everything into washing it. So, reusable is not always greener than single use.
Wow. Man, again, these are like simple things that we should think of as a people. Like, okay, what would happen if we did not, if we used glass or back to glass? And all these things that you're saying, they're so simple, but they never have been. You're the first, literally the first person I've ever heard that brought up these other problems that would go along with switching away from plastic.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, the thing is, you'll never hear me talk up plastics, right? I mean, most plastic, if you're a plastic company and you do try to defend plastic, you'll say, oh, it's used for medical and it creates jobs and all this stuff. I never say that stuff because I think it's so lame. The argument is that it's usually the greenest solution and changing away from it is increasing harm.
Do you have any idea of like pre-plastic, like what the negative effects were, like when everything was glass, for example?
Yeah.
Do you think, like, because we never, I don't think they cared about the environment in the 40s and the 50s, but I imagine broken glass everywhere probably caused its own dangers. Right? That would be my guess.
Yeah, I've got some numbers on that. So if we look at bottles, right, comparing polyethylene bottles, PET bottles, those are way, way greener than steel or aluminium or glass, because if you look at a, have you ever seen glass being made? It's glowing red hot, right? It's a really high temperature. It takes a lot of energy. You have to burn a lot of fossil fuels, make a lot of CO2 to heat that glass. And so I see these clowns all the time saying, well, we should move away from plastic bottles to glass bottles or steel cans or aluminium cans. And you're like, no, there's life cycle analyses all over showing that would increase waste, it would increase CO2, it would increase energy usage, increase water usage, right? And then their argument is, well, they're recycled at a higher rate. And I'm like, well, that doesn't make sense. What you're saying is you've got the least green material and let's use it again and again and again and burn that energy and that CO2 again and again and again, right? Every time you remelt it. That's a really dumb argument. The logical thing to do is pick the greenest material and increase the recycling rate.
Right. That's it. You're right. Chris, we need to get you involved in other areas. You got to come to our conspiracy side, man. We need a man like you on the team.
I'm involved in several areas in terms of reading, right? So I've read a lot of, I've read Jordan Peterson's work and seen his stuff. I've seen Steven Pinker and Jonathan Haidt and a lot of people who are talking sense and debunking stuff that's out there.
Yeah, no, that's because your brain works differently than mine does. And it's super valuable that, you know, to have you questioning things because not enough of us question at all. We just act as non-playable characters and agree with what the talking head says.
Yeah, that's right. And that's the other thing, right? I can't expect regular people or even the reason I went on this crusade is that my kids were being taught lies at school. And I'm like, this is no good, right? I'm paying to have teachers teach whoppers to my kids. That's just not, you know, that's not the way to a brighter future. So I started researching and then more questions came up and it just snowballed into this ridiculous thing of reading 2,000 articles. And this isn't my job either, right? This is people always come to me for advice on the environment. I'm like, this isn't my job. I don't have any advice to give you. I don't have any product to sell. I don't have anything here, right? I'm just trying to provide information because I think we need solid science and information to make smarter choices.
Wow. I'm going to put your website in the show notes and I went through it. But like, so companies, do companies reach out to you for answers on this or?
Companies really like the stuff that I put online. I've had, you know, the CTOs of Fortune 100 companies like it. I talked to a US senator a few weeks ago about it and so forth. And what I found is that none of them, I've never met a single executive, a single member of any, a single environmental person for any company or a single politician who was aware of the facts. For example, right, we're obsessing over plastics, which are 0.4% of the materials we use. Right. So this is the insanity of it. Right. How can you spend 100% of your effort and time and money on 0.4% of a problem and expect to make a dent? Right. You'd have to be clinically insane to think that was going to work. That'd be like me going into the kitchen and cleaning the cutlery drawer and thinking the rest of the kitchen was going to clean itself. You know, I'd be locked up if I believed that. But that's how people are approaching this. We do have a materials issue. We do have a waste issue. We do have a pollution issue. But focusing on 0.4% of it with billions and billions of dollars and hundreds of thousands of posts is just not going to bring us anywhere.
Right. So really, like, I know you already said this in the beginning, but like an average plastic would like a plastic bag, you said what, it disintegrates, like it starts breaking down within a year, you said?
Yeah, that's right. And so that's peer reviewed. Every single thing I say on the website and in my videos, I literally cite the studies where you can type, you know, you just paste into Google and you'll see the scientific study that backs up what I'm saying.
So like, how about like, you know, 3D printers are a big thing. Like, is that pretty uniform or like other plastics made to last longer, obviously. So that can't, that's
yes.
Right.
Some last longer, but if you look at the most common ones, polyethylene, polypropylene, PET, these ones, they fall apart pretty quickly. And that's why you have to put these stabilizers in them to stop them from degrading right in front of your eyes. If you took a piece of polypropylene, which is, I think, the second most common plastic in the world, and you just left it even in a dark drawer, it would be useless within a year, just sitting there in the dark at room temperature. So if you took a piece of paper and put it in the same drawer, it would last, let me look at this up. I've got the number for this. A piece of paper would last like 2,000 years.
Yeah, because I collect old newspapers and
right.
It's funny, the really old papers like from the late 1800s, they were cotton. So yeah. Those are great, but then like the you know, 1920s ones, they're less sturdy, but they're still present and it's 100 years later and they still, you know, they're very brittle, but they still are there. They didn't, you know, they're not disintegrating.
The estimated time for a piece of paper to degrade at room temperature, you know, indoors, is 2,700 years. I'm reading from one of my slides here. And the oldest piece of paper we actually have is 1,080 years old, right? So it's, you know, there are papers around which are more than 1,000 years old. And people are saying, oh, plastics last longer than any other material. It's like, no, glass lasts longer than plastic. Ceramic lasts longer than plastic. Clay lasts long, you know, where pottery lasts longer than plastic. We've got coins of metal last longer than plastic. Paper can last longer than plastic in some conditions. So where this idea came from, that plastic is bad because it lasts longer, is ridiculous. If you find a 500-year-old ship, right, of wood in the sea, you build a museum to it and charge people money to go and see it. And then you find a piece of plastic from 5 years ago. Oh, this is lasting way too long. We can't have this. This is insane.
Chris, it's so true, though. My God, like, again, I know I keep saying this, but these are absolutely like, things that I can tangibly understand. And you're right. Like, that is the argument always. Like, think how this will be around forever. Well, you're right. Paper and wood chips or whatever that are at the bottom of the ocean are still around forever. This isn't like a new concept.
The Dead Sea Scrolls are 2,500 years old. We've got 2,000-year-old Roman coins. We've got 500-year-old wooden ships, the Mary Rose and the Vasa. I've been to the museum of the Vasa in Sweden. And we're celebrating these things. We're, like I said, building a whole museum just to house this piece of old wood that we're so happy that we found and charge people money to see it. It's there's a kind of plastic discrimination going on. It's like the new kid on the block. Maybe it doesn't look natural to our eyes, so we have kind of some kind of negative reaction, but it's not based in reality or logic.
Right. Well, and then like another thing I hear about is like the like BPA free and stuff like the cancer causing of plastic. Could you like allow? Is that true with certain types, or is that kind of based in, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, so BPA is something that can be given off from one particular type of plastic. Well, more than one, but it's two of the less common ones, right? So if you look at the regular plastics, polyethylene, no BPA, polypropylene, no BPA, PET, no BPA, et cetera, right? And that's like, I've already covered like 75% of plastics in those three. So there are a couple, and one of them was polycarbonate, right? So they're like, oh, you can release BPA from this, but it was never in dangerous amounts. And they replaced it with another plastic, which turned out to be possibly more dangerous than it was. So people are going these days. You have to understand, right? Our machines are so sensitive; they can almost detect one molecule of anything, right? So whenever you hear something like, "Oh, I detected this," or "I detected that," you have to ask yourself, "How much did you detect? Was it like one part per million? Is it above the safe level?" And people are not asking these questions; they're just kind of going off on, "Hey, I found something." You know, some molecule I wasn't expecting, instead of asking, is it really relevant?
Right. Well, and this makes me think of another thing, like what if they're using the plastic as the blame for this stuff, when really we should probably be spending this time that we're worrying about plastic, that what's going in our food, what, you know, what we put in our body, these straight chemicals that are processed, everything that would probably cause a lot more damage than we've been spending the companies like to admit, right?
Yeah, I actually cover that in my book. So if you eat blueberries or fruit or vegetables, they all contain like carcinogenic, that means cancer-causing substances. They contain toxins. And I'm talking about toxins and carcinogenic substances made by the plant, right? There's hundreds and thousands of material of different chemicals in there, and nobody questions it. Oh, yeah, give me a banana, give me an apple, give me a whatever, right? Containing all kinds of things that nobody cares about because it looks natural to our eyes. Yeah, so people are not looking at things with a logical mind, and that's unfortunate because, you know, we have dangers all around us. We can't respond to every single danger. We have to work out what's really important and take action on those things. And that's why I called my video "The Great Plastics Distraction Part 2," right, on YouTube, because it's distracting us to spend billions of dollars and all of our time and attention on 0.4% of a problem. And meanwhile, we're ignoring the 99.6% of the problem, and that's just never going to make a dent.
And I also wonder, like, who's the greatest producer of like plastic, and what would be the draw? Again, I guess it must be just to throw problems at you that you can't fix, and with more money that you'll give, because the people who create this plastic, I can't imagine that would be you know, that would probably ruin industries if you stopped using plastic. So I'm sure that that's not the actual goal, because everything's on plastic.
Yeah, I don't really know what their goal is. It's a good point. I know that the, you know, the non-governmental organizations, according to their own former members, are just telling us lies to get money. And, you know, they show you a picture of a turtle or a whale. That's another thing I did, right? I looked up, because that's a way to get to your heartstrings and get their fingers in your pocket, right?
Right.
So I looked up whale mortality studies, right? You can literally do it yourself. Go to Google and type in whale mortality study, right? And you'll find out what's killing whales. And the answer is fishing gear, natural causes, and being hit by boats, right? There's no mention of plastic or bag in at all in the studies. Not a single mention, right? And then there's two studies I've got here on birds. What's killing birds? And the answer is 100 million birds are killed every year in America by cats, right? So if you were worried about birds, you would put a bell on your cat, right? That's what you would do. You wouldn't be worried about plastics, because it doesn't appear anywhere. There's not a single word mention of the word plastic or bag anywhere in the bird mortality studies. 500 million a year fly into buildings, right? So, okay.
Wow.
This is the thing, you see. You can't address everything. So look at the main causes and try and do something about that. That's what a logical person would do. And only a person who was trying to scam you out of your money would be showing you these pictures and mentioning plastics when the studies don't, you know, they don't have anything about plastics in them. They're not even mentioned. They're not even significant.
And you're right. That's like another, I think of plastics. I think of birds eating it and dying, and I see trash. And even like, that's how great the propaganda is, because I see trash on the street, like a chip bag or whatever, and I think, oh my God, a bird's going to eat that and die. Huh. And you're saying it's such a small, or the studies are showing that that's such a small number of animals, if that happens, that it's negligible.
If it happens, it's so small, it's not even recorded in the studies.
Wow.
That's how small it is. Not a single mention of it. And let me give you an example, right? Today I had an argument with someone on LinkedIn. This is supposed to be an expert. And I said, look, you're making policy based on fiction, please look at the facts, right? This is the person's job. And they wouldn't even look at the video. And I asked again and again and again politely. And he said, well, what about the turtles, right? What about, because he had a picture of a turtle there, right? And I said, there has never been any credible evidence that there was a turtle with a straw up its nose. And he's like, but look at the video. And I said, yeah, there was a white object pulled out of a turtle's nose. There was never a peer-reviewed scientific study. There was a really rubbishy paper, like a little write-up that they did, like a school project, right? And when you read it, they never analyzed that object to see that it was plastic, right? So there's no proof that it was plastic. So I had a friend write to them and say, how do you know it was a straw, right? And they said, oh, we don't know it was a straw. It could have been anything. It could have been a piece of wire. It could have been anything, right? I've literally got an email from those people who have become rich and famous, or at least famous, by spreading this, you know, turtle straw propaganda. There's people, everybody, my kids know about the turtle and the straw, and it's just not true. There's no evidence for it.
Oh my God.
And the other way to look at it, right? I went to YouTube and I looked up dogs with sticks up their nose, right? So you can literally go to YouTube and find dogs who've got sticks, you know, from the forest stuck up their nose. They go to the vet, they pull out the stick and it bleeds a teeny bit, you know, just like the turtle video. Are we banning trees because dogs have got sticks up their nose? You know, that would be the logical conclusion. If we're banning straws because of one fake turtle video, we should be banning trees because there's dogs with sticks up their nose. That would be a logical, you know, corollary of it.
That is seriously hilarious, Chris, because my mother-in-law will cut up the straws that we use because we're worried that the animals are going to eat them because of my mind's literally being blown right now, Chris, because it's so crazy that there's little to no evidence that this happens to animals, that they're dying. I, you know, the way they portray it, it's like an epidemic of our sea life, our, you know, all these animals are just dropping dead because they're eating plastic.
Yeah, total rubbish. And here's the thing about straws, right? I'm not pro plastics, as I said, I'm just pro truth, right? If you want to be green, just don't take a straw. I mean, how hard is it, right? But if you have to take a straw because you're handicapped or something, right? There are life cycle analyses, and the plastic straw is greener than the paper one. And we also know the paper straws are rubbish. That's why we got rid of them. You can barely get one use out of them before they go soggy and collapse. My daughter reused a plastic straw 50 times without any problem. It was still fine. And that's way, way, way greener than a paper straw or a metal straw or a glass straw or any of these other preposterous ideas.
And what we already said, how paper lasts, if not just as long, longer than plastic. So a plastic straw, I'm sure it doesn't decompose into nothing. It just becomes a soggy, wet piece of paper.
And another thing people don't know is wood dust is actually toxic, right? Everyone assumes that natural things have to be good. Wood dust is toxic, right? And that, what do you think paper degrades to? It degrades to little pieces of wood dust and cellulose, which have got toxicity to them. Nobody ever, they don't question it because it comes from a tree. It must be fine.
What do you mean there? Yeah, because that was my logical thinking. If it comes from the earth, it's not, what do you mean it turns toxic?
I mean, you can literally look up, you know, wood dust toxicity, and you'll find that there are studies, scientific studies, showing that it's toxic.
Wow. Yeah, because that's my belief is like, all, you know, if it comes from the earth, it'll be fine. That's like my logic. I'm sure. Right.
Well, go and meet a rattlesnake and see if he agrees with you.
And I love how you said you're not pro plastic, right? I think that's like really important, because scientists now, they always seem to have like a cause that they're championing. You're really championing like just truth.
That's because they're all getting paid and I'm not. So I'm the fool in the room here, because I'm doing something which takes thousands of hours of my own time. Mainly I'm talking to people who didn't care about the environment in the first place, because they won't even look at the facts.
Yeah.
And I'm not getting paid for it. But it feels, you know, I don't believe in all this giving back stuff, but it does feel like the right thing to do. I just can't stand the idea that our kids are being taught lies by their teachers. And, you know, that just can't lead to a good future. So I wanted to do something about it.
What are the responses you get from doing this? Because I imagine they're not too great.
Oh, initially I had a lot of pushback, but now I've got quite a following, because the people who've, you know, there's always some wise people like you, you know, who question things. They're not just sheep, right? And they go and check what you said. I had a comment from a guy on Monday on LinkedIn, and this could have been the biggest compliment that you could get, right? The guy said, I went to see your video to debunk it and prove that you're full of it, and came away incredibly mind blown and impressed by how true it all was and how much evidence you have behind what you're saying. And that's what I found, that about 5% of people are going away checking it and going, holy moly, this is right. We've got to do something.
Yeah. No, that's great. I mean, 50%, that's a pretty good number. Because
5%. I read a quote the other day. 2% of people think, 3% of people think they think, and the other 95% would rather die than think. And that's pretty much what I've run into.
No, but I totally agree with that quote, because that's literally the amount of people that will just agree with anyone who has a sense of authority over them. I think I don't know if it's the Milner experiment or the Ingram, I can't remember, but in the 50s they did, like, if a guy in a lab coat was viewed to shock this person, most people did it.
And I read that Eisenhower report you mentioned, because I wrote a book on innovation as well. And you're right, the US government did a study under Eisenhower and proved that there's a giant waste of money to take taxpayers' money and have government funded research. It doesn't work.
No.
Absolutely right. So
now I love how they, I think it was in like the late 90s where they passed that our tax dollars fund universities to do studies, and then they can sell that patent for profit off of the money that we gave them to study it. This is absurd.
I know. And most scientists have no clue what they're doing. It's like any other profession. There's a few people, if you read my innovation book, you'll know that there's only a few people capable of having a breakthrough, and those are the people we should be funding. So there's literally a proven way that you could spend half as much money on R&D and get 10 times better results. And it's proven and published, and nobody's doing it.
Right. And the people that would do this great work, they probably, you know, are like you, willing to do it because on principle alone. And then you've got a guy that also has advanced degree that will say whatever you want to keep that paycheck coming.
I see that, because I do some work as an expert witness. So you might have seen me on 60 Minutes with Scott Pelley talking about women's medical mesh, where you put this mesh inside the body to repair hernias and so forth. And that was just a big scam as well. They just, you know, they did horrible things, and they didn't do good science. And you'll find experts on the other side who will basically tell any lie for money.
Wow.
So, we'll see.
The one story I talk about always is Donald Rumsfeld. He was in charge of the FDA. He got aspartame passed, even though it failed 3 times earlier, causes all these issues. He got it passed. He leaves the FDA. He gets a bonus from whoever, like Cyril, SCA, who eventually got bought by Monsanto, but he got a $25 million bonus. You know, I'm sure no correlation between the two of him getting that passed and then But so it's just over and over again, we see how corrupted science has become.
Yeah.
Worthless.
That's how that mesh took off. They paid some Swedish doctor $2 or $3 million to say it was great. And they knew that it wasn't at the time. They had their own internal testing and knew that it was a problem before it was even launched.
And it's hard to, like, I don't know how you move forward with that. And then people get yelled at for not, you know, trusting the experts. And I want, it's like, how could I trust these people? No one tells the truth.
I know. Here's an example, right? There was a study recently showing that every gram of fruit and vegetable contains 200,000 microplastic pieces, right? I mean, anyone with a brain in their head knows that that's just not possible, right? The whole piece of fruit would be microplastics. The number is just preposterous. So this is coming out of Greenpeace, East Asia. They published it and several newspapers picked it up. So I'm the only one going and actually reading the original scientific article, right? So you read this article, and they never detected plastic anywhere in the article. They literally have zero evidence that there was plastic there. And yet the headline is 200,000 pieces of plastic per gram. And I reported that to the editors and they didn't care. I reported it to Elsevier, the publisher, and they didn't care either. So that's how bad things are.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. Good for you, man. Like, that is awesome that you are taking, because we need more people like you in the world that are willing to, you put so much time into this and you reap no financial reward, which really sucks and it's messed up. But that's like what makes science and learning so great, is to find the truth. And no one.
Yeah, that's right. Well, there can't be too many people doing that. So. But I'm a crusader for truth. I've been that way all my life. And I've been fired before for exposing, you know, corruption in companies and stuff like that. And my wife was like, why do you have to be so F blank, blank, blank honest? And, you know, and it's just the way I've always been. And you have to believe in something, right? Or else what's the point?
Chris, you are speaking my language. I'm trying to think of any other last big plastic questions that you can destroy this idea that I have in my head. Well, I guess the moral of the story is we shouldn't use, you know, you should reuse things as much as you can. But there isn't, you know, the alternative would be worse, essentially, right?
In most cases. And here's an amazing thing. In general, the cheapest product is the greenest one, right? And if you think about it, it makes sense. Initially, it sounds crazy, but it actually makes sense. So what the green people are trying to do is make us go from a cheap plastic straw to a cheap paper straw. In general, we should be just taking no straw, as I said earlier, right? So they're trying to get us to go for more expensive solutions. They're trying to get us to go from polyethylene to PLA, which is a lot more expensive. If you look at the life cycle analysis of these things, you know, how green they are, that adds up how much water do you use, how much electricity, how much pollution, how much transportation. And a lot of those things are the same factors that go into the price, right? So you'll find that something that takes less energy to make, less transportation, it weighs less and so forth, will end up being greener and cheaper. Right, for the same reasons. And on the other end of that scale, if you look at the worst materials there are in the world for the environment, it's platinum, palladium, and gold. Those are just horrendous because of all the pollution and the energy and the water and all of that stuff, right? So you've got on the one side of the scale really expensive things that are bad and really cheap things that are good. So this is actually great news for the customer. If you're in the supermarket and you're not sure what the greenest solution is, it's probably just the one with a lower price tag.
Interesting. That's a great, easy way to keep in mind. That's a great, and again, simple logic, but it makes perfect sense.
It's not 100%, right? But if a regular person doesn't have a pocket full of life cycle analyses that they want to read when they're standing in Kroger, so that's a general rule of thumb if you're not sure.
So where could people, because I know you, I saw your book on Amazon and I got it, but I try to encourage, so where can people like find your work and all that? And are you on all other, all your socials and all that kind of stuff?
I only do LinkedIn. That's the only one I do. And if you go to plasticsparadox.com, you can find the book. It'll be available in 7 different languages, probably by the end of this month. And it's all for free, right? It's a free download. As I said, I'm not asking you for any money. There's hundreds of scientific articles there, more than you'll see from anybody else in the world. I've had a Fortune 100 company tell me that I've got 10 times more information than their whole company has on this. And if you go to YouTube, you can see Great Plastics Distraction Part 2. And in 20 minutes, you will be astounded by how you've been misled and by who.
Chris, seriously, this was an awesome episode amidst our tech trouble. So I'm so thankful you took some, you had a few minutes you could spend with us. And I'll put all your links below.
Cool. Thanks, Jack.
I really appreciate it.
I respect what you're doing too. Let's get some information out there, and smart people can make up their minds based on the facts, and just want to make sure they've got something to go on.
I love it. But Chris, thanks so much for talking, man. Have a great night, and I'll send you the link when I put the show up.
Thanks. Cheers, Jack.
All right, Chris. Take care.
Okay. Bye.